Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. As parents, and in our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a moment to encourage us. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His Word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is
and is holding now. Folks, my guest today is Dr. Julie Slattery. She is the author of many books, but we're going to be talking about one entitled Sex and the Single Girl. Now, all you guys who are out there listening and saying, "Whoa, wait," you're going to want to hear this too, believe me. This is a wonderful book. And starting with week one, because it's divided up into a 6-week study, but week one, why sexuality matters. And let me tell you, the content in this book, even though it is aimed at women, is thoroughly biblical, and it is something that would benefit men as well. So, Julie, I want to thank you for coming on the broadcast today.
Well, thanks for having me, Jim. I'm glad to be with you.
You are a psychologist. You are a clinical psychologist. That requires, that wasn't a mail order degree, was it?
No, it wasn't. It took me a while to get it, that's for sure.
And you have been helping folks in this area of intimacy and sexuality for quite a while. But in this book, your presentation is very fresh, your illustrations are very fresh, and what I want folks to understand is this is biblical stuff. You're not just relying on something you learned in a university classroom. You are taking people into the Scriptures, and it's not just about sex, it's about our relationship with the Lord, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I would say very little that that is in this book as things that I've learned in psychology. Some of it is, but my conviction of really seeking the Scripture and believing that the Scripture is relevant to the real life questions we have today, that's the heartbeat of what I do.
Mm-hmm.
And believing that that's where we look for truth on any topic, including sexuality. So God has been teaching me along with everyone else as our culture has become more confusing and the church has alike become confused,
yeah,
that God has something to say on this topic.
Amen. And one of the scriptures that I go back to when I'm talking with folks about this subject is that we certainly have to be loving, but love does not rejoice in evil. It rejoices with the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people feel that, if we're going to say anything that suggests there is a standard from God, somehow that's not being loving. And just the opposite is true.
No, I think that's very true. And, Jim, I think where we get caught is when we apply the standard to only certain people or only certain sin categories.
Amen.
You know, when we apply the gospel to sexuality, you know, the gospel says that all have fallen short of the glory of God.
Yes.
You know, all are in need of his redemption. And I believe that's true with sexuality, that every single one of us have at some level failed in this area.
Absolutely.
And we all need God's truth and redemption. So, you know, I think that takes a lot of that conversation out of it.
Mm-hmm.
When we first, like Scripture says, take that log out of your own eye first.
Amen.
And we need to do that before we ever look at anyone else's lifestyle.
Amen. Amen. Now, in your book, Sex and the Single Girl, you talk about why sexuality matters. Why does it matter?
Well, you know, this is something that I would say I only really started to learn maybe 5 or 6 years ago. If you are in a church, a Bible-teaching church, you've probably heard that marriage was created to represent God's love for his people. And you've probably heard that Jesus is the bridegroom and someday there's going to be a wedding ceremony in heaven. But what you may not have heard, because we're a little squeamish to say that, is that sexuality is part of that metaphor.
Amen.
And that from the beginning, when God created Adam and Eve, and there was sex in the garden right away, as part of helping us understand what intimacy is, what unity is, and God's love for us. And so we see all throughout Scripture that there is this consistent referring to the metaphor of sexuality to teach us about God's faithfulness, his mm-hmm. covenant love for us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, for example, in the Old Testament, when the Jewish people started to worship other gods,
mm-hmm.
the prophets used very sexual terms to describe their behavior.
Amen.
God called them harlots and prostitutes because he was trying to tell us that spiritual faithfulness and sexual faithfulness have an overlap.
Mm-hmm.
So when you really start to get that principle, and it takes a while for it to sink in because it is a paradigm shift for us, you start to realize that every sexual choice you make is also a spiritual choice.
Mm. Amen. And, you know, I think a lot of folks do feel that they can somehow treat it as something that's just physical, or
yeah.
as something that is just physical and maybe relational on a human level. And as you're pointing out, no, this also involves our relationship with the Lord. And one of the things I really appreciated about your book is that your goal is not just to address sex, but to help the reader come into a deeper relationship, a more intimate relationship with the Lord.
Yeah, that's the end goal of what we're supposed to be doing here on earth.
Is, amen.
You know, sharing Jesus's love and leading people to a saving knowledge of him and showing people what it means to be a disciple of him. And I think that sexuality, particularly in today's day and age, provides a great opportunity for us to engage with people on a deep level in terms of what is truth, what are you really longing for, where do you feel broken.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to see it in light of the bigger picture, which is God's love and his redemption.
Amen. Amen. And of course, I've dealing with a lot of folks who've been through sexual abuse and have horrible childhood experiences that were just the most heinous kind of introduction to sex.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I see is some folks who basically wish that there was just no such thing. I just wish that sex didn't exist. I don't know mm-hmm. how to deal with it. I don't know what to do about it. You know, why did God have to invent sex? And one of the things you share in the book and make wonderfully clear, and you walk folks through this, is that you're sexual by God's design. You know, your longings for intimacy, for relationship, for sexual pleasure, and I'm quoting you, this is all inseparable from your spirituality. That is something folks need to hear. They need to realize that it wasn't as if God put two naked people in a garden and they began engaging in sex and God said, oh, no, I should have seen that coming.
Mm-hmm.
God invented sex. God designed sex. And we teach the kids here at our ministry sex is designed by God to be an expression of love between a man and a woman who are married to each other. And that's not everything the Bible has to say about sex, but it is a wonderful summary that helps people of all ages begin to get a handle on some important aspects of biblical truth. And the first part of that is that God designed sex. It wasn't an afterthought. It was an essential aspect of our design. And it is, as you describe it, a grand design. You ask a question at the start of your study, and that is, who taught you about sex? I've asked that question at marriage seminars I've done, and it's very interesting to hear from folks all the different experiences and so forth as far as where they first sort of began learning about sex on a conscious level. And suffice it to say, everybody starts out with a distorted picture.
Absolutely. I would say that the vast majority of us learned about sex within the context of shame.
Mm-hmm.
So you mentioned those who have been sexually abused, and mm-hmm. that's certainly a very, very deep wounding of shame. But there are also those who learned about sex by being exposed to pornography, or by locker room talk,
mm-hmm.
or by just self-exploration that somebody said, hey, that's wrong, don't do that, that's dirty.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say even for some churches, the silence on sex has led people that even grew up in, a Christian setting to feel like there's something wrong with this part of me.
Yeah.
So I think we all have some baggage to overcome. And unfortunately, the world is so persistent in telling us what to think about our sexuality. And we're not, in most cases, we're not hearing a whole lot about what God has to say.
Amen.
So, that's why we do what we do at our ministry, is really teaching a biblical view, not just for marriage, but also, as this study addresses, what is the purpose of my sexuality as a single woman?
Mm-hmm.
Is it about just waiting for marriage? What if I never get married? Those are some of the very realistic questions that women are asking today.
Right. And those are vital questions, and I appreciate, again, that your approach to those questions doesn't just give people more information about sex. It helps them to take wonderful steps toward Jesus, knowing him better, understanding themselves better. Ministry, Authentic Intimacy, is not just about intimacy with other human beings. It's about intimacy with God, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, that's the end goal. And we love hearing that as, women really walk through healing in their lives when they really start to grasp God's design for sexuality. One of the main things we hear is, this has really changed my relationship with the Lord.
Praise God.
Because, what happens, Jim, is for most of us, sexuality is a barrier between us and God.
Mm.
Either because we feel tremendous shame and guilt because of a sexual struggle or our past, or because we feel like we're being tempted and God isn't helping us mm-hmm. in that temptation. And really, that at the end of the day, that's Satan's design, is to separate us from God.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we can begin to tear down that barrier and actually say, this is something that you can invite God into.
Yes.
He wants to bring healing. He wants to bring truth. He wants to bring freedom and forgiveness, we see that a woman's relationship with God really starts to thrive in different ways.
Praise God. Praise God. Mm-hmm. I've seen a lot of folks who seem to despair. They really feel that because of what they've been through, or because of the ways in which they've sinned, there's just no hope. They can't have a good future. And you know that's not true, don't you? God brings healing and transformation to people who are willing to trust and obey.
Yeah, absolutely. As a matter of fact, I think the people that are the most broken and the most struggling have the potential to have the deepest relationship with the Lord and the most effective ministry. Now, why do I say that? It's even in Scripture. You know, when you look at Jesus' interaction with two kinds of people, you know, the religious leader that had his act all together, and then the sinner, quote-unquote sinner, who is just on his face saying, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Mm-hmm. You know, or the woman that would come to Jesus' feet and just be weeping. And Jesus said, you know, she or he that has been forgiven much loves much.
Amen.
And for that man or woman, for example, who's really struggling with pornography or some form of sexual addiction, for that couple that has lots of brokenness in this area of your marriage, this is an opportunity for you to be humble before the Lord and dependent on Him mm-hmm. in a way that you never have. And what we find happens when we get in that position of just humility and, God, I'm helpless, would you save me, is we find that the Lord begins to work in powerful ways. You know, as the Scripture says, His power is perfected in our weakness.
Amen.
So I really believe that it's our brokenness that gets us in the place to be filled by the Lord and used by Him in the most effective ways.
Amen. Amen. You talk about in the book why sexuality matters, embracing God's grand design. You talk about sexuality and your character and the fact that it takes faith and courage to hold to a godly standard that opposes the world's view. Right now, in this culture, if we say that God has a standard, that puts us at odds with the culture, doesn't it? I mean, there are a lot of people who want to say, and of course it's a self-defeating statement on their part, but they want to say there is no right and wrong. And if they've mm-hmm. just stated something that they believe is an absolute standard of right and wrong, and that is there is no right and wrong. But there is such a thing as right, and there is such a thing as wrong. And as you mentioned earlier in this conversation, we get in trouble when we start singling out certain folks, picking and choosing certain sins and saying, you know, I think we need to target that. And we fail to deal with the log that is in our own eye. But mm-hmm. if we just pretend that having logs in our eyes is fine and that having impaired vision is fine, that's not loving either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's the bottom line is, you know, the question underneath all of this is, where do you look for truth?
Mm-hmm.
And in our world, we live in a postmodern humanistic culture that believes that, number one, there's no objective truth, there's no
yes.
objective right and wrong, and number two, that believes that the safest place for you to look for truth is to look inward, you know, to ask yourself, what do I really want, and what do I really feel, and what would make me happy? That's the philosophy of our day.
Right.
So when people are making sexual decisions, what they're learning from culture is my barometer, you know, my compass mm-hmm. is to look inward, you know, to go see a therapist and figure out who am I really and what do I really want, and you know, I need to live according to my desires.
Be true to myself.
Exactly, yeah, and that we should affirm each other in being true to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
But that is so contrary to what God's Word says. You know, God's Word says that your heart is actually deceitful and
Amen.
You can't trust it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you live by how you feel and what you think, then you will be, like, tossed back and forth with life. You're never going to be rooted in anything. And so, unfortunately, Jim, what we see happening is there are a lot of Christians who at one level would say, I believe God's word, but particularly related to sexual issues and sexual questions, they're acting more like the world and looking at, am I really happy in my marriage? Would somebody else make me happier?
Mm-hmm.
God hasn't brought a husband. There's nothing wrong with me sleeping around.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're making decisions really more like the world is instead of saying, God, I trust your truth.
Amen. Amen. You make a statement and that one that really resonates with me because we see this a lot in our ministry. You said, we need to remember that our lives are a spiritual battlefield, especially concerning our sexuality. Satan has an agenda to twist and distort our perspective on love, relationships, and sexuality, all which God created to be holy. Now, there are a lot of folks who get, not only are they uncomfortable dealing with sex, but they're also very uncomfortable dealing with the reality of Satan. You treat the whole spiritual warfare thing as being very real, because it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. I mean, the Bible tells us over and over again it is. And I think we're quick to see spiritual warfare and really big things. And, you know, when we look at, for example, when we look at the statistics of pornography and how many men and women are getting caught up in it, we can say, well, you know, that's a spiritual battle. Mm. Or we look at sex trafficking and we say, that's awful. That's a spiritual battle. But what we don't realize is that that same battle is being fought in our own lives, being fought in our own bedrooms, in our own marriages, in our singleness, you know, in the shame that we carry around.
Yeah.
In the lies that you can separate your sexuality from the spiritual and relational purpose of it. That's spiritual. You know, Satan is the father of lies.
Yes.
And his calling card is always a lie.
Yes.
And we see that all over the place related to sexuality.
Amen.
So when you recognize that there is a war being waged in your own heart, and in your own life, you treat this topic very differently than you do when it's just kind of like, well, I get to choose whatever I want, and that's not really that bad. There's grace. You know, I at least I feel like I get really feisty when I start to realize that the enemy is after me or is after my marriage.
Yeah, and he is. He comes, as you said, to steal, kill, and destroy. That's a quote from Jesus, folks. And we need to recognize we do have an adversary, and what God has intended as something absolutely wonderful and beautiful, a marvelous gift, Satan wants to twist and distort and use it to wreck your life. Don't give in to him. The truth will set you free. I want to commend this book to all of the women who are out there listening. Dads, if you've got a daughter, this is a great book for them. Grandparents, this is a great book for you to get hold of. And if you say, well, I'm a guy, I'm single, I don't have any kids, you're not recommending this book for me, are you? I just say you ought to borrow it. You don't have to buy it. But the title is Sex and the Single Girl, which, without apology, is a throwback to an earlier generation when there was a heinous book by that title that was filled with lies. And Sex and the Single Girl by Dr. Julie Slattery is filled with truth. And I want to commend it to you. It's published by Moody, and it is available in Christian bookstores everywhere. You can get it online. And again, Dr. Julie Slattery has been our guest today. She is a dear sister in Christ and an expert in this field. And she's done the body of Christ a great service by putting together this book. Again, it involves why sexuality matters, embracing a grand design, sexuality and your character, sexual boundaries, battling temptation. Anybody out there resonate with the need to battle temptation? We don't start there. We start with why sexuality matters and embracing a grand design. Otherwise, you're going to keep failing in the area of temptation. But then the final part of this book, week six, Restoring Intimacy with God. It is a great read. It is very readable. And it has excellent thought-provoking questions that will send you into the Word and hopefully help you to be honest as you work through this material. Sex and the Single Girl by Dr. Julie Slattery. Julie, thank you so much for being on the broadcast today.
Thanks, Jim. I really appreciate it.
God bless you. You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.